How many of you have a Bible? Do you have a copy of the Bible? Let's take it to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Would you please do that? The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 7 in the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I'm so very humbled and so very thankful to stand before the greatest church family in the whole world and get to preach God's Word. You all are the best. And if you're our guest today, our pastor would normally be here preaching at this moment, and I would encourage you to come back on Wednesday night or next Sunday. We thank God for our pastor. Amen. And we thank God for how the Lord's using him. And I'm very thankful for him allowing me this opportunity and a very humbling thing. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I must tell you, I have tried to preach this three different times in this church in the last year, and God would never let me. Well, this morning, he's finally let me. And this may be the first, and it may be the last. Amen? It's the 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I say that because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this will help someone in this room. It's for somebody. If nothing, it was for me. 1 Samuel chapter 7. How many of you are thankful for a Bible? 1 Samuel 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. If you have it, would you say amen? And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were, what's the next word, church? Afraid. They were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines." And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up a burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder unto the day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. I love verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." If you're in the habit of underlining or highlighting portions of Scripture, I have one word underlined in verse 12. It will be the title of today's message, our theme, our topic, and our text today. It is one word. It's the word Ebenezer. I thank God this morning that he is our stone of help. Ebenezer. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, this morning we thank you for the Bible. Thank you that thousands of years later, it's still challenging us, still changing us, still helping us. Lord, I pray that this text and the Word of God will encourage our hearts, challenge us this morning. I pray for someone that doesn't know Christ in this room or maybe in a children's church. I pray today they would call upon Jesus Christ to save them. Lord, we thank you for this church. We give you praise for what you're doing. We stand in awe, and we are quick to give you praise for it. Bless us now is our prayer in these few moments together. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. For most men, being asked to go to the store by your wife to pick up something at the grocery store can be a very fearful and a very nerve-wracking thing. But I'll tell you what, not for this guy. I love my food, amen? And I know my way around a grocery store, amen? And a few weeks ago, Tiffany was making some pasta salad. And she said, "Tom, I need some bacon bits." No problem. I know my way around the store. And if there's one item that's not hard for me to find, it is bacon, amen, in the store. So she said, "I need some bacon bits." So I go to Food Lion. I go to the refrigerator section in the back of Food Lion, and I see where I've always seen. I see the bacon. There it is. And I look for, I see all different types of bacon, except for one thing. I'm not seeing any bacon bits anywhere. I mean, I see bacon this, bacon that, but no bacon bits. And I literally stare at that thing, that fridge section, for 10 minutes. Where in the world are these bacon bits? I don't want to call my wife and say, honey, I can't find the bacon bits. That would look very foolish on me. So after 10 minutes of frustration and anxiety, I did what no man likes to do. And I went to some lady there at the food line that had the name badge on. I said, ma'am, I need some, what? I need some help. I can't find these bacon bits. And she said, sir, if you'll go to aisle number 3, right up there where all the dressing condiments and all the dressing stuff is. I'm like, that's not where bacon's supposed to be. It's supposed to be right here. Amen. And lo and behold, there it was. The bacon bits. Amen. I needed some help. I'm glad there was someone there to help me. After 10 minutes of struggle, there was someone there to help me. And we come to 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning, and we find this unusual word here. It's this word Ebenezer. And the word Ebenezer is not one that we hear very much today. In fact, for many of us in this room, when we hear the word Ebenezer, the very first thing that comes to our mind is the 1845 Charles Dickens classic, The Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug. But in the Word of God this morning, the word Ebenezer, it means something very, very, very significant. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Ebenezer simply means this: a stone of help. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And based upon the word of God this morning, Calvary Baptist Church, I thank God that He is my help. And if you know the Lord, He is your help too. I thank God for the Ebenezers, a stone of help. And I don't know what you come into this auditorium with this morning. But I do know this, based upon the Bible, our God can help you. He is our help. And here is the good news this morning. The God of 1 Samuel chapter 7 is the same God of 2024. He has not changed. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. I am the Lord. I change not. So what can we learn from this place called Ebenezer, the stone of help? Number one this morning, if you're taking notes, number one, Ebenezer is a place of return. Number one, Ebenezer is a place of return. I'd like to give you some context and some background of this text. I'd like you to go back down and look with me at verse number 3. Ebenezer is a place of return. Would you look with me at verse number 3? And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do, what's the next word, church? If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Thank God He will deliver us. Verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray unto you. I will pray for you unto the Lord. Chronologically, 1 Samuel and the book of Judges run right up against each other. And Samuel, he did not become the judge of Israel until chapter 7 that we just read, even though Samuel is the main character since chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Eli, he was the priest before Samuel. And God told Samuel that he was going to judge. He was going to judge Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, the judgment of God upon Eli and upon Israel is occurring. It was 20 years of judgment. Can you imagine that? 20 years of oppression, of judgment. The ark of God had been captured by the enemy. Ichabod had been stamped upon the temple door, and the glory of God, it was departed. And the Israelites took the ark of God as a good luck charm. They trusted more in the ark instead of the God of the ark. Israel got to the point in the verse that we just read, after 20 years of oppression, they got to the point where they missed the glory of God. The glory of God had departed from them, and it broke them. But in verse 3, Samuel, God's man, he preaches to Israel, and he says this, "You can return. What do you have to do to return to Ebenezer? What do you have to do to return to God?" Well, verse 3, it gives us three or four things here. If you read back with me, "Return unto the Lord with all your heart. Put away the strange gods. Prepare your hearts and serve Him only." I want to ask every single individual in this room, including this preacher, do you miss the glory? Do you miss the glory of God? Israel missed it. They had become paganized. They become modernized. And now it's costing them. And sadly, this sounds like many Christians and many churches today. They become paganized and they have become modernized. And the sad reality is, everyone in this room, including me, we want God's blessings, but few of us want to obey God's commands. We want the blessing, but we don't want the blesser. And many say, "God, I want your benefits," but few are wanting to follow God and follow the God of the Bible. We want what God can give us, but we don't want God for who He is. I don't know of a single church member in this room who will go home today and will set up a graven idol or a graven image, and he will bow down to it and worship that idol. But if we're not careful, we will bow down to other types of idols just like the Israelites did. We have our strange gods. We have our graven images. I have one hobby in this world. Fishing sounds completely boring to me. My personality could never stand hunting, including golfing. I have one hobby, and it's football. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. And I grew up just a short drive from their stadium. And I want to tell every person in this room something. I thank God for a dad, and I thank God for a mom who did not allow me 15, 20, 25 Sundays out of the year to be sitting in a ball field or in a court watching my Philadelphia Eagles play. Bowing down to the graven images of this world. I thank God every day for people in my life that stood, no matter what kind of abilities or what kind of hobbies or what kind of things I had. Listen, I enjoy my hobby a lot. I'll tell you what, I thank God for people in my life, including my mom and dad, that honored the Lord's Day. And today, my friend, is the Lord's Day. And I'm a dad to three kids. And the older I get, the more I realize that the decisions that I make right now, listen, I fully understand this is not popular, but I'm preaching what the Bible says, no matter what people say. I realize that I'm a dad, and I realize that the decisions I'm making right now are not just affecting my kids right now, but they will affect my children long after I am gone and my body is in the ground. When you choose to disobey God, do you consider the consequences of your sin? The decisions we are making right now, we think sometimes are not a big deal, but they will have lasting effects on those we influence long after we are gone. Let me just tell you this. God can do with your kid and your grandkid far more than any dream that you have for them, sir, and that you have for them, ma'am. And the Israelites, they came to the end of themselves and they had enough. But Samuel says something at the end of verse 3 that should encourage every single one of us in this room. Samuel says, if you return to God, what does the Bible say at the end of verse 3? Look it with me. He will deliver you. Ebenezer, it is a place of return. And I want to say to every Christian in this room, every Christian in the room this morning, I thank God that he has always provided a way back to him, a place of return. And the Israelites, their eyes were open, and they found this place to be a place of return. And praise God, you are never too broken to belong to Jesus Christ. You may come in this room this morning, broken, hurting, lost without Jesus Christ. You know how I came to Jesus? I came to him very religious. I had the suit and tie on. I had my King James Bible. I had all the Sunday school chart, the gold stars. I knew the VBS verses. I was baptized, but I was lost without Jesus Christ. You may come in this morning. Maybe you've never come to church ever before, and maybe this is the very few times you've ever come to church this morning. I'm glad you're here, but being in this room this morning will not save you from your sin. Jesus Christ loves you, he died for you, and as we celebrated today and a few weeks ago, he rose from the dead. Why? Because he loves you, and he died to save you from your sin. And you can come to Jesus Christ today. Praise the Lord that he has provided a way back. And I want to say this morning, it may mean pain, it may mean getting clean, it may be removing all the petty excuses we have for not getting right with God. It may mean getting rid of the strange gods like the Israelites had. But there is always a way back to God. Number one, Ebenezer is a place of return. Number two this morning, Ebenezer is a place of desperation. Number one, it's a place of return. But number two, it is a place of desperation. I want you to look with me at verse number six. Verse number six. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Israel got desperate with God. They got serious about the things of the Lord. They said in verse 6, we have sinned against the Lord. Listen, church, when we sin against no one else but God. And they got desperate before the Lord. They didn't blame anyone else for their sin. They acknowledged their sin. They got desperate with the Lord. I find it interesting that the very first action that Samuel took as leader of these people was getting them to talk to God and going to prayer on behalf of God's people. He learned this from his mother, from Hannah. Samuel was a product. Listen, church. Samuel was a product of a praying mother. And he patterned his life after her. Don't forget what we just discussed in point number one. Your decisions that you make now will greatly affect others and your family long after you are gone, for the good or for the bad. In verse 8, Israel makes this statement to Samuel. They say this, Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord for us, unto the Lord our God for us. What were they asking Samuel here? They said, Samuel, don't stop praying for us until you get through. Amen. Amen. Until you get through, Samuel, until you get to God, don't stop praying for us. Remember what Pastor preached last Sunday night, getting a hold of God? Thank the Lord that this prophet, this man of God here, was someone that he kept praying until he got through. You see, so many Christians are stopping short just before God answers their prayer. You know what is interesting here? As soon as they start getting serious with God, what happens? The enemy comes. As soon as they start getting serious with God, the enemy comes. And this, honestly, this threat revealed the sincerity of their repentance. Look at the last phrase in verse number 9. I want you to see this last phrase in verse number 9. Don't you love this? And the Lord heard him. For 20 years, God is silent. But now, He's hearing his people again. And Christian, if we're not careful, we will just use God like a good luck charm. Oswald Chambers once said this, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We sometimes pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything else, before anything at all." Amen. You see, everyone wants the product of prayer, but no one wants the process. Let me say again, we want the results. We want the blessing. We don't want the blesser. You see, prayer is hard work. We want the product, but we don't want the process. Are you desperate for God this morning? Is he your only option, or is he just your last resort? Ebenezer, a place of desperation. Back on Easter, Tiffany prepared some Easter baskets for our three kids. And we got home from church, and there was those Easter baskets in front of our fireplace, and they enjoyed getting through them. Well, Silas got one of these kind of high-tech styrofoam airplanes from the dollar store. Amen? That's not a dollar. So we went outside that afternoon, and me and Silas were throwing that styrofoam airplane around. Well, he throws it, and it twirls around a little bit, and it lands on top of our house on the roof. I said, "Silas, man, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to hope the wind blows it down." And he stood there for a few seconds. "Come on, wind. Come on, wind." Well, it didn't come down. Well, the next day, Tiffany picks up the kids at school, drives home, and she could see ahead that the airplane had fallen on the ground. And she said, "Silas, guess what?" And he said, "What?" And Tiffany said, the airplane, the wind took it, and it fell on the ground. He said, "Oh, I know." He said, "Oh, I know." And Tiffany, knowing that he couldn't have seen it, she said, how do you know? He's like, "Well, last night in my bed, I prayed about it. I asked God to take the airplane off the porch, and I knew he would." Tom, are you saying that Silas was desperate for the airplane? Probably not. It was just an airplane. But if God can hear the prayer of a little six-year-old boy about an airplane, I wonder how he listens to those that are desperate enough for him about the things of God and the things of spiritual things. How much more do you think he hears the cries of his people when they choose to get desperate with him? Amen. Everyone wants the product, but no one wants the process. Ebenezer was a place of return. It was a place of desperation. Number three this morning, I like this one. It's a place of victory. Number three, it's a place of victory. I want you to look with me at verse number 10. We're walking our way through this text. Look at verse number 10. What happens next? "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering," this was not after, but in the middle of his offering, "the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel." Here comes the enemy. "But the Lord thundered with a great thunder." Who thundered that day, church family? Who was it? It was the Lord. "He thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar." Here comes the Philistines to attack. And God discomfited them. God defeated them. And God, he wiped them out. Verse 13, he says, "The Philistines were subdued and they came no more unto the coast of Israel." You know what, church? Any other day, previous 20 years, guess who's winning that battle? Not Israel. The Philistines. Any day previous to those 20 years, Israel's losing that battle. But they get desperate. They get right with the Lord. They get serious with God. And God discomfited, God subdued the Philistines that day. Ebenezer is a place of victory. Amy Edwards once said, "If we're not careful, we will focus on the battle so much that we forget the God of the battle. We get our eyes so much on the battle that we forget the God of the battle. Our God is victorious. He always wins, and nothing ever can. and nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, Jesus has never lost a battle, and he never will lose a battle. So tomorrow, Monday, in your battle, put the keyboard down, stand still, let God fight for you, because Ebenezer is a place of victory. Tomorrow, close your mouth, stand still, let God fight for you, because Ebenezer is a place of victory. Put the pen down, stand still, and let God fight for you, because Ebenezer is a place of victory. Put the phone down, stand still, and let God fight for you, because Ebenezer is a place of victory. Turn off conservative news. Turn off conservative news. I said, turn off conservative news. Cut off the social media. Stand still. Let God fight for you, because Ebenezer is a place of victory. Tomorrow morning, when Philistines are lined up against you, remember that Ebenezer is a place of victory. Anybody have any Philistines lined up against you this past week? Ebenezer, it's a place of victory. Oh, don't forget Ebenezer. It's a place of victory. Number four this morning, I want you to see it's a place of remembrance. This is my favorite. All the Bible is wonderful, but this one's my favorite in verse 12. Number four, it's a place of remembrance. I want you to look with me at verse number 12. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Can you see it with me? God discomfits the Philistines. And then Samuel goes over. I'm not sure how big the stone was. This is all I could carry, okay? This is all my muscles could carry, okay? I'm not sure how big the stone was, but Samuel picks up a stone. And he lays it between Mizpah and Shen. And he gathers the Israelites around. He says, he points to that stone and says, hey everyone, this is the place that we're calling Ebenezer. This is the place where we can look back on and say, the Lord helped us. I love the word hitherto right here. Say, what in the world is that word? I like the word hitherto. It means that God has done it in the past, and he intends to do it in the future. Amen. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I can see some middle-aged man. He's in his 40s or he's in his 50s. And he's got his young son across his arm. And they're walking down the road. And all of a sudden they come to this place between Mizpah and Shen. And there's a stone there. There's a rock there. And the little boy says to his dad, Dad, what's that stone doing there in the middle of the road? And the dad looks back and says, son, that place is called Ebenezer. Before you were born, I was away from God. I was backslidden. I worshiped false gods. I worshiped the strange gods. But I got desperate. And I got right with the Lord. I returned to God. And the Lord brought me back just like his promise, like he promised. And all of a sudden, these Philistines, they were knocking at our door. And there was no hope for us. But on that day, between Mizpah and Shen, the Lord helped us right there, son. And God, he won the victory for us on that day, son. And now we call that place Ebenezer. And son, hitherto, son, the Lord helped me. And there's going to come some day where the Lord's going to help you, son. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer, son, the Lord helped me. And son, I'm telling you, the Lord's going to help you too one day. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The God of 1 Samuel is the God of right now. And I want to say something very gently to every single fatalistic Christian in the sound of my voice. God is not the I was God. Amen. He is not the I was God. He is I am. He is I am. He has not changed. God is not the God of the good old days. God was not God in the 80s and the 90s. He is God right now on April the 14th, 2024. Right now are pretty good days. I'm not sure if you realized. Right now are the good old days. Tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a time his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you'll find there was never a time he was not faithful. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. The moment you doubt God, go back to Ebenezer. The moment you think that he is less than almighty, when your Philistines are coming, go back to Ebenezer. It's a place of remembrance. I asked myself this question. I'm not sure if you did as well, but why a stone? Of all the things, why a stone? Because we are forgetful Christians. Anyone else out there with me? We see God do a great victory one day. We rejoice. God, you're good. You're wonderful. And then a couple days goes by and we act dejected. We defeated as if Ebenezer had not happened. And we become very forgetful. I don't know what you need help with right now. I don't know what the next weeks hold for you. I don't know what burden you come into this auditorium with or watching online. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. There is a God in heaven who can help you. Amen. Set up an Ebenezer, and he can help you. You know the truth is, church family, the building we are sitting in right now, it's an Ebenezer. Do you think of that? There were people before this was renovated that begged God to provide this. When you walk in this morning, when you walked in tonight, when you walk in this room tonight, can I encourage you? God, here I'm raising Ebenezer. I'm thankful for it. I was getting coffee for Tiffany over at Wisteria this morning, and I saw one of those yellow buses pull out to the right to go pick up some kids. And I said, Lord, that's an Ebenezer. Thank you, God, for some people long time ago that picked up my wife on a church bus and brought her so that she could grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for that Ebenezer. Lord, here I raise an Ebenezer. When you look over, when you go out and you go pick up your kids, you thank God for an Ebenezer over there in the Family Life Center. I took this picture of Silas a couple years ago when the Family Life Center was being built. Just as a reminder, Lord, that's an Ebenezer. How in the world, during a pandemic, can we build something like that? Because it's not we, it is God that did it. Here I raise an Ebenezer. And if we're not careful, us Christians can become so callous to the blessings of God. Oh, this is just, you know, and we complain about how hot or how cold the auditorium is when we should just sit back and say, Lord, here I raise an Ebenezer. Amen. God, thank you for there's a place over there that my kids can be taught about Jesus Christ and where they can be educated about the things of God, where people can be helped and teens can be reached in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. People's lives can be changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here I raise an Ebenezer. Praise God for the things of the Lord. But God said hitherto, I helped you back then, and I will help you in the future. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus never fails? Amen. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The moment you begin to doubt God, go back to Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In 1758, a 22-year-old man by the name of Robert Robertson, he penned a hymn. The first verse goes something like this. We sing it often. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. But I love verse 2. Maybe next time we sing it, you will hopefully understand, remember now what it means. Verse 2, here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good favor safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me. How about that return? Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. It's time for Christians. It's time for us to raise some Ebenezers. It wasn't the stone that was special. It was what the stone represented. It represented a God who helped. So what's our application today? Tom, I'm going to go home. I'm going to find a rock and I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to dust my hands off and say, I raised my Ebenezer. That's not a bad idea. That might be a good thing. But not necessarily. What I'm saying is there are too many Christians today living as if God is unable to help them. Did you hear that? There are so many Christians who are living today as if God is unable to help them. They live in defeat. They live in worry. They live in constant fear. They live in constant anxiety. And what you need to do is set up an Ebenezer today and say, Lord, hitherto, Lord, you helped the Israelites back then, and I know that you can help me today. Maybe you come into this auditorium saying, I need help. You need to raise an Ebenezer to remember what God did for them and he can do it for you. Maybe in a few moments, some of you want to make this altar an Ebenezer spot and saying, Lord, you help me now, help me here. A place of help. There is someone here that need to return to the Lord and get desperate for God again. Some of you in this room need to put away the strange gods that you're holding on to. You've made every excuse for not giving it up, but you need to put away the strange gods. And there is some in this room who tomorrow when your battle comes, or even in your valley right now, you need to set up some Ebenezer spots as reminders and say, Lord, you helped me back then, and you're going to help me today. And some of you in this room may need Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. You need to come to Jesus. Listen, today's the best day for you to come to Jesus Christ. And some just need to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for helping me. And you need to make Ebenezer a place of praise and thanksgiving. Ebenezer, it's a place of return, a place of desperation, a place of victory. It's a place to remember, remembrance. He is not I was. He is I am. The God of 1 Samuel chapter 7 is the God of right now. Same God. Need help today? Are you doubting God? God has done it in the past, and he intends to help us in the future. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want to ask everyone in this room just to close your eyes and bow your head for a few moments.